Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a loaded Tuesday live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, FS1, what a pleasure it is today. 1 hour from now, my Herd hierarchy. I thought I was getting hate mail last week. Cannot wait for it. Pack show. What a game last night, and Joy Taylor is joining me. What? How much fun was that?
It was unbelievable. That was so much fun.
Top five Monday Night Football game all time.
We deserved that in 2020.
We did.
We really did. Bad beat, though. Cleveland's always going to come through in some way. Always going to make it happen.
All right, let me start with this. Well, you know, you just keep telling me what Lamar Jackson can't do, and then my eyes keep telling me that's what he is doing. I thought he couldn't throw. I thought he couldn't come from behind. So you're either in the camp that I'm in, which is the dude is special. It's not always pretty, but I love him. Or it's not going to work. So let me give you an example. Phillip Rivers has won 56% of his games. He's the worst athlete at quarterback in the NFL and has been for most of his career. He's got a decent arm, good, not special. And his judgment, not great. Led the NFL in picks twice. 56% of his games. Many of you argue for him to be in the Hall of Fame. Lamar Jackson is the single fastest athlete to ever play quarterback. Nobody looks like him. Judgment, it's actually pretty good. He doesn't make a lot of terrible throws. Now, his arm is below average. But he wins 79% of his games in a really good division. And you guys are telling me, you know, this isn't going to work. I mean, you can't. This is not going to work. You keep telling me no, and I keep seeing yes. I'm all about special. 6 to 7 times last night. Minimum. Lamar Jackson did something you cannot duplicate in the NFL. No other player can do what he can do. And I'm saying 6 or 7 times. He did 2 of them back to back. Baker Mayfield had a good night. He didn't do a single thing you couldn't duplicate that Mahomes couldn't do, Russell couldn't do, Allen couldn't do. And Baker played well. Not a criticism. But you can duplicate that. I can find that on the market. Lamar Jackson's had back to back plays at one point in that game. I'm like, in the history of football, the only player that maybe could do it is Michael Vick. Maybe. Are we into special? His quarterback rating last night was 116. Now, I've heard this before. He cannot throw. No, I watch football. Tim Tebow couldn't throw. Couldn't throw. At one point, was fourth on the Denver Broncos, a first-round pick, was fourth on their quarterback depth chart. Colin Kaepernick had no touch. Swing pass, he was throwing a 99-mile-an-hour heater. I have watched Lamar Jackson go 10 for 10 against the Colts defense in the second half at Indianapolis and win. And I watched him last night. I thought he couldn't come from behind. I guess he can. They trailed. He came in. Cramps. Threw him out there. The game changed. There's also these things. You all love Dak. There's not a lot of special, but you love the intangibles. Lamar Jackson is a leader. His teammates love him. His coaches love him. He's coachable. He's not defensive about his criticisms like an Aaron Rodgers. He like embraces it. Like, I know it's not pretty. I know the slow-mo version of him throwing a football is not exactly NFL films. It's hide-your-eyes stuff. It's like, this is painful. And he misses some open throws. But he is so unique and so gifted at so many other things, I don't get the argument. Tebow's career passer rating was 75. Kaepernick's was in the 80s. And you defend him to the end. Lamar Jackson's career passer rating this year is 95, and you're all complaining it's an off year. It's at 95, and that division is arguably, when Joe Burrow was healthy, the best division in football. He didn't get a lot of days off. Phillip Rivers also, who some of you argue is a Hall of Famer, didn't start until 25. Lamar's 23. We're not seeing the best of Lamar. He keeps getting better and better and better. Listen, I always said this about Mike Tyson. When you're a boxer and you scare other heavyweight boxers, Tyson was totally flawed. At the end of his career, he didn't even jab. But you pay to watch Tyson. Tyson was special. Tyson scared other heavyweights. Lamar Jackson, have you ever known a pro athlete? Have you ever been around a pro athlete? Like, I've had a few pro athlete friends, and like, you play a pickup game with them, and like, the football player among a bunch of basketball players is so much better than everybody else on the court. Much like Mike Tyson scared other heavyweights. Lamar Jackson makes other professional athletes look so stupid and so inept and so slow. You love Philip Rivers, terrible athlete, iffy judgment, decent arm. Lamar's the best athlete in the world. He has good judgment. It looks like crap. A lot of times it looks terrible, but he's got touch. He can come from behind. I don't get it. If you didn't see, by the way, the reason Baltimore won, they trailed when he came back from cramps. Let's give you, if you didn't see the game-winning kick, here it is.
Morgan Cox for the snap. Sam Cook the hold. Tucker's kick is traveling down the middle. It is long enough. It is good! And with 2 seconds left to play, the Hays in the barn, and the Ravens are on path to make the playoffs with an unbelievable comeback.
This is fun. All right, now let's address it from the Cleveland side. And it's not about Baker. Well, not really. So a lot of you are saying, well, I mean, Colin. I mean, Lamar was great and stuff, but Cleveland's defense is terrible. Yet the reasons for Cleveland's defense being inept, especially in the back seven, is that Cleveland has such a sad and embarrassing history of whiffing on quarterbacks that when John Dorsey and Cleveland drafted Baker Mayfield, a reach at number one, they created an overspent to build a fortress around him to ensure he would look okay. So when they signed this contract with OBJ, I said at the time, why? He doesn't want to be there. You're spending a fortune on Jarvis Landry. Why are you doing this? What are you doing? Last night they dropped 42. Without OBJ, the offense is better without him. When they signed Austin Hooper, at the time the highest contract for a tight end, I said, I like Austin Hooper. But they had David Njoku, and they went out and drafted a tight end in the fourth round who won the award for the best tight end in the country. Why did you go have to spend for Austin Hooper? So you have OBJ and Austin Hooper, neither played last night, and you scored 42 points. That ain't the problem. The problem is Cleveland's back seven doesn't have any players. Folks, they overspend so much on the offense. There's a salary cap in this league. The Browns spend $5.5 million on a swing tackle. He doesn't start. $5.5 million in Chris Hubbard. He's a swing tackle. That's more than they pay anybody in the back seven. That's why your back seven's terrible. They pay their backup quarterback, Case Keenum, $6 million. That's more than anybody in the back seven to sit and watch the games. Cleveland's self-esteem is so low at quarterback that they've built this incredible all-star fortress of receiving and tight end and offensive line and running back talent around him to ensure, see, we told you that wasn't a reach. He's really good. And that's why you're not a Super Bowl team. Your defense in the back seven's awful. There's guys back there that are not starters in the NFL. It's awful. So it'd be one thing if it was just, you know, like Baltimore's got a good defense, but their secondary, which is their strength, was all banged up last night. So, and you can say, but Baker looked good. You know when Baker started looking good last night? When the Baltimore secondary got hurt. You know, when Jimmy Smith got hurt, Marcus Peters got banged up, came back, was never the same. So if you can blame the Cleveland defense, but there was no reason to bring in OBJ. He didn't want to be there. You already had a star receiver. Wide receiver and weapons were not your issue. And though I like Austin Hooper, I liked him, but then you drafted another tight end and you had David Njoku and you didn't really need it, but he is good and I like him. But OBJ and Austin didn't even play last night. You dropped 42. And the reason you lost the game is because you're not spending any money on the back seven. And when you lead football games in the NFL, in the AFC, and you're going to face Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, or maybe a Derek Carr, and you lead a game and you need a stop, you ain't going to get it in that defense. So I thought Baker was fine. But I think this organization, to overcompensate for him, you can't babysit Baker. Josh Allen has an average offensive line. He still wins. Lamar Jackson has below average wide receiving talent. He's still winning. They're trying to create this perfect offense to ensure Baker works. And in the process, they've overspent at tight end. They've overspent at wide receiver. They're not even spending any money at running back right now. They're going to eventually have to pay Nick Chubb, a fortune. And he's probably going to be worth it. So, you know, this is what I always say. There are certain, like, cities in America, they have low sport self-esteem. And to ensure Baker isn't a bust, they've built a fortress. But that back end is a bunch of low-earning, average talent guys. Stop babysitting Baker. Nobody's got a perfect offense outside of Patrick Mahomes. Like, nobody's got one. He's got to at some point win games with an average O-line, with okay to below average receivers. Because Lamar Jackson did last night. He won a football game, and it's a bad receiving core. It really is a bad receiving core in Baltimore.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Albert Breer wrote a column, and we got to give Albert, who comes on the show every couple of weeks, credit for this. This is something that was out there, but he wrote about it, and he talked about Mike Shanahan is one of the great all-time coaches, and I tend to be a believer in it's not just about you in life. What is your legacy? What do you leave? Andy Reid's coaching tree is amazing. Mike Holmgren, Bill Walsh's coaching tree. Mike Shanahan's is just unbelievable, and Mike Shanahan, the legend, was in D.C. a few years ago when RG3 won Rookie of the Year with Mike Shanahan. And on that staff was Matt LaFleur, now coaching Green Bay, Sean McVay, now coaching the Rams, and his son Kyle Shanahan, very successful coach in San Francisco. And Mike runs, it's kind of the Shanahan offense. It's a zone run scheme with some West Coast principles. It's very complex. And the key to it is year two. So it takes quarterbacks a year to figure it out. In year two of this system, Jared Goff with McVay got to a Super Bowl. In year two, Matt Ryan with Kyle Shanahan got to a Super Bowl. In year two, Jimmy Garoppolo with Kyle got to a Super Bowl. In year two with Matt LaFleur, Aaron Rodgers is having by far and away the scariest season in the NFL. He's just great, you know, at everything. And this is the offense that John Elway had, and in year two of it, Elway went 13-2. By year three, Elway won the Super Bowl. By year four, Elway had won back-to-back Super Bowls. So that's why we try to add context to this stuff, and Albert Breer, go read his column, did a great job. Some of this stuff is just hard. We don't have a preseason. We don't have camps. You know, if you go look at Tom Brady's numbers this year, he's set to blow away all of Tampa's historic quarterback numbers, and we're all crushing him. So Goff, Matt Ryan, and Shanahan, and Garoppolo in year two got to Super Bowls. Aaron's better than all of them, and in some cases, a lot better. Year two, Matt LaFleur absolutely on fire with the Mike Shanahan system. And what is also amazing is that the Washington football team had Sean McVay, Matt LaFleur, and Kyle Shanahan in the building at the same time. I may have wanted to retain one of those guys. Nothing against Ron Rivera, but it is an offensive league.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
I am going to just spend a minute on here, a story time with your favorite uncle, Uncle Colin. So, John, if you could, let's have a story time with Uncle Colin. Some story. So, years ago, my kids were small, and I used to work at another big sports company. I don't know what happened to them. I've heard it's not all good news. Anyway, there was an amusement park right next to the company I used to work for. It was called Lake Compounds. It was predictably awful food. They bragged they had the world's oldest roller coaster. It was wooden, and it hurt to ride. I'm gangly and tall. It was painful. At least once an afternoon, it would get stuck at the top. And you'd be up there like, oh, this is not great. But my son loved it. So we would go like three times in the summer and eat crappy food. And they had this pirate ship that had water flying everywhere. It was so unhealthy. But yet, I knew it wasn't Disneyland, but I felt like a good dad every time I went. Like, I'd drive home, I'd look at my son, he was sunburned, he was soaked, his teeth were rotting because of the cotton candy, but I felt like that was a good dad moment. I always slept well that night. All right, the story time's over. It didn't really go anywhere, but the point being is sometimes fun is good enough. Just last night was fun. These are not Super Bowl teams. They're not. Cleveland has spent way too much money on offense. Their back seven is atrocious. In a conference with Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, you could outplay the Chiefs and the Bills and lead by 14, and you couldn't hold the lead with that defense. And Baltimore today is not a playoff team. Both may make it. But I'm watching that last night, and I'm like, this is kind of a mess. Quarterback leaves. He's got cramps. And you know, I mean, let's be honest. Cleveland's offense started, you know, looking good when Baltimore was having these secondary issues, which their team's really built around. But don't compare this. Remember a couple years ago, we had the Rams play the Chiefs on Monday Night Football. But those teams were both 9-1, and those teams, we were talking about a Super Bowl preview. With Mahomes and Goff and McVay and Andy Reid, 9-1. It was a wild, and that game was better than this game because it just was. This was two good teams. One may not make the playoffs. Neither has a shot at a Super Bowl. Now, I think Baltimore has a better shot because Lamar just does stuff nobody else can do, and Lamar could, you know, you could, would it be the craziest thing in the world if Lamar Jackson goes to the playoffs, they get in week 17, out of a bye, if they play Kansas City, and Kansas City's a dog a little tight, and Lamar goes nuts. And all of a sudden, one or two fumbles by Kansas City and Lamar short field, and you lead, and all of a sudden, he doesn't have to play from behind. But like last night to me, I was sitting there watching. I'm like, this is just a top five circus on Monday Night Football ever. It was a circus. It was, I mean, everything. It had all the elements, the comeback, you know, Baker and Lamar, and you're seeing stuff you'd never see, and the cramps, and he runs out on the field, and he saves the day. But like Uncle Colin's story about Lake Compounds, the wooden roller coaster wasn't that safe, and it hurt to ride. Somebody could have really been injured seriously. They weren't, and we all take a deep breath on that, but it was more about feeling like a good dad than it was feeling great riding a wooden coaster that, did I say this, hurt to ride.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
I like doing this. You know, I know everybody does like a top 10 list. I get it.
I have a feeling like you're really going to upset some people today.
I think, like always, I'm America's honesty broker, so here we go, my Herd hierarchy.
Herd hierarchy.
Time is now. Let's go.
The top 10 NFL teams according to Colin. Number 10.
I don't give a rip about your record. What are you today? The Steelers are the 10th best team in the NFL. Fewer than 20 points in three straight games. Held under 50 rushing yards. It's like high school in 5 of 7 games. Okay, this is a team that the only reason you make the list, you lead the NFL in takeaways, your defense can overwhelm a bad offensive line, and you have the most sacks. TJ Watt is unblockable. So you're a top 10 team, and you can create points with your defense. If you can't run the ball at all in December and January, you're not a Super Bowl team. You can be a good team. I can love your coach. But this is where you are. You're 10.
Number 9.
Tampa Bay. Could somebody tell me what their identity is? They had a bye week. I still can't figure it out. They're just a collection of good players. By the way, they got a Mike Tyson quality. They're great against bad fighters. They're 6-1 against teams that are 500 or worse. But I can't get past this. They're 2-4 against teams with winning records. So they're not a Super Bowl team either. Now, they have the number one rush defense and the number six scoring offense. But to me, they're just a collection of really good players. And they're going to get to the playoffs, and I think they'll probably win a playoff game. But like Pittsburgh, this morning, What is their offensive identity? They don't have one.
Number eight.
The Cleveland Browns. You know what? Their back-end defense is too big of a liability to win a Super Bowl. And their point differential of minus 20 this year. The only team in the league with nine or more wins with a negative point differential. But they run the football. I think you could argue they have the best offensive line in the game. Baker's interception last night was not a terrible interception. It was a great play by Baltimore. I think they're going to be fun for the next several years. If you have the best offensive line and best rushing game in the NFL, you're a playoff team. And they are absolutely a playoff team. But that defense on the back end, spent a little less money on wide receivers and tight ends.
Number seven.
The Seahawks. Very interesting. Their next three games at Washington, tough, Rams, and at the 49ers. They could go 1-2 or 0-3. These are not all good matchups for them because they all have great defensive fronts. But they're allowing 12 points a game over the last three games, best in the NFL. Their defense has 24 sacks since week 9. And think about that. No other team has 19. So they have solved their big problem. They're taking the ball away and they have a pass rush. If this team has more variables than anybody in the top 10, I think they could be as good as the second best team in the league and be the 10th or 11th best team in the league. If they're healthy at running back, you don't want to face them in the playoffs. Seattle at 7.
Number 6.
But today, I think Baltimore, even with all their injuries, would beat them head to head. Great rushing offense. Lamar leads all quarterbacks with 793 rushing yards. Baltimore's all beat up last night in the secondary. Otherwise, if Lamar doesn't get cramps and they don't have secondary issues, this could have been kind of an ugly game. I think this team needs to get healthy. But this idea that we're still banging on Lamar, who's got a 95 quarterback rating, has won 75% of his games, and can do things in football games that no other human being on the planet can do. You can sell your stock. I wouldn't want to face the Ravens in the playoffs. I have them at 6.
Number 5.
I think I have the Rams low, but I worry about Goff's inconsistency. First of all, this team is 34-0 when they lead at half under Sean McVay, and they usually lead at half. He's a very creative guy. He comes out. They're hard to stop in the opening drive. They're the only team in the NFL that has outgained opponents by 1,000-plus yards. Not even the Chiefs have done that. They're also, they've allowed the fewest big plays in the NFL. You got to march down the field on them. That secondary is the best, and it's young. They got the best corner in the NFL that matches up with all the star receivers. I do worry about Goff's propensity to turn it over. He gets into these tunnels of turnovers, and he can get them out of sorts very quickly.
Number 4.
Saints. I think they beat the Rams. I'm not sure. I think their defense, because it doesn't have a lot of stars, doesn't get talked about. They don't have an Aaron Donald. Boy, their defense is good. And listen, they're 8-0 without Breeze. Here's the thing, though. They need Breeze. The last 2 weeks, people have caught up to Taysom Hill. Okay, in the last 2 weeks, 21 points. With Breeze, 24 or more. And we knock on Breeze for not throwing the deep ball. So I do think with Taysom Hill, they're more athletic, but the league, there are limitations on what they can do. But the reason I put him here, 4, is because they're getting Breeze back, and I think this defense and coaching and situational football, they're as good at that stuff as anybody in the league.
Number 3.
The Packers. Listen, they're 10-1 against everybody else in the league and 0-2 against teams with winning records. That's got to freak you out if you're in Green Bay. Yes, Aaron's going to get my MVP. Yes, Devontae Adams is great. What I worry about, though, is I watch them in that second half against the Colts, and Aaron just sits and watches the football game because their run defense worries me. It was much better against Detroit this week, but I have them at number 3.
Number 2.
Kansas City. 5 straight wins by one possession. Red zone offense is now a problem. The Dolphins outscored them with 3 rookie offensive linemen, Devontae Parker out, and 4th string running back, outscored them 17-3 in the fourth quarter. By the way, they're at the Saints this weekend, and I can't figure out why they're favored by 4. They are not playing great football today, Kansas City at 2.
Number 1.
This morning, Buffalo is absolutely the best team in the NFL. They're a Hail Mary away from winning their last 7. The only team in the NFL, the only one, with 20 or more first downs every game. They've allowed fewer than 25 points in three straight games. Their defense leads the NFL by a mile in fourth quarter takeaways. So they're playing great situational football. Since week nine, they score more than the Chiefs. They have more touchdown to interception ratios better. Their point differential is better. Their turnover differential is better. And they've got fewer penalties in the last 3 weeks. This morning, Buffalo is the best football team in the NFL. I think this morning the Rams could beat the Saints, maybe. So I may have done the Rams low, but I didn't want to overreact to losing to Jalen Hurts. You'd never seen him. You were guessing defensively. You had a backup quarterback, and I'm like, come on. Saints had no idea what Philadelphia was going to run. I'm going to give you a pass on that. All right. Now, I know. Andy Reid's probably throwing pencils and stuff. So the Buffalo-Kansas City thing is everybody will overreact. So let's just do a superficial dive to start. Last 3 weeks. That's current. Let's stay current on this. This herd hierarchy is about this week. Now, last 3 weeks, Buffalo has won by 10, 10, and 11. Kansas City's won by 3, 6, and 6. But that's superficial. Who are they playing? Let's dig deeper. Defense last 3 weeks. Buffalo is allowing 330 yards a game. Kansas City over 370. Buffalo's better there. Let's go to the details. Penalties. Last 3 weeks. Buffalo 20. Kansas City 23. We'll call that even. Last 3 weeks. This league is about red zone scoring opportunities. That's what the playoffs are, folks. Ain't about the 20s. It's about, do you settle for field goals or do you get touchdowns when you get your opportunities? Because Mahomes and Josh Allen are going to get you in the red zone. Last 3 weeks, Kansas City one red zone touchdown, Buffalo 6. That's why they're number one. You're going to get to the playoffs. Mahomes is going to get you down the field. You're not going to get all these free Tyreek Hill over the top touchdowns in the playoffs. You're playing the best defenses, the best coordinators, the best coaches. You're going to get down and get a first and goal at the 9. Kansas City settling for field goals over the last 3 games. Buffalo scoring touchdowns. Today, they're a better team than Kansas City. There you go. Feel good about it. Feel confident. Not kidding. Flexing. Feel very good.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
One of my favorite guests, Super Bowl champ, 5-time Pro Bowler, first-round pick, 12 years in the NFL. Belichick loved him. And he's actually calling a fascinating game. So he's got, for Fox, he's got the Eagles and Jalen Hurts against Kyler Murray and the Cardinals.
That's
which will
one.
Be, which it, if I'd have told you 10 years ago in the NFL, you'd have a 5'9 guy running around and Jalen Hurts, you'd be like, in the NFL? That sounds like a Big 12 game. That is the new NFL. And Aqib Talib, former NFL great, is now joining me live. So let me start with this. Everybody bags on Lamar. But I've always had this theory. Dennis Rodman was such a great rebounder, I can deal with the fact that he couldn't shoot a jumper. Lamar is so gifted as an athlete, I can deal that he's not a top 10, 12 passer. Or am I wrong? Do you think his inability to throw a beautiful football will ultimately be his downfall?
Oh, never, man, never. Lamar's special, so you just let special guys be special. So if he's going to be 12th or 15th in the pass, and I'm always going to have a guaranteed top 3 rushing defense, I'm taking that any day. I'm taking that, man, because in December and January, you want to play, you want to be running the ball good and be playing defense if you plan on winning the Super Bowl. So I think he got the formula to win the Super Bowl.
So I don't know if you ever faced Michael Vick. I think he's actually quicker than Michael Vick. But what was your theory on facing running quarterbacks like Lamar? What did they create that was tough for you?
Man, we hated it because they create. First, they dictate how we got to play. We almost can't play man against these guys. You know what I'm saying? Because a spy can't tackle Lamar or a spy can't tackle Vick by itself. So we almost, if you're a man team, it almost makes you play zone because you don't want everybody with their backs turned against these quarterbacks. So
right.
they dictate how you have to play them. And then just guys who could create that extra second, man, DBs hate it. We want to guard for 2.8 seconds and be looking for the football. So now we got to guard for 3.8 seconds, 4 seconds. That 1 second is the world to us. You know what I'm saying? So just that extra second that he create, man, it's a pain for DBs.
So this week you have Jalen Hurts against Kyler Murray. they also both run. Kyler throws a really pretty football. Size up Jalen Hurts and Kyler Murray. Who do you prefer? What do you see when you call the game this weekend?
Man, I probably, if I was drafting, it was starting a franchise, it's hard not to take Kyler, man. He's just super special. He's fast. He's quick. He run the ball. Now, Jalen Hurts can run the ball as well. But I think, man, collectively, man, those guys are so calm. They true pros, man. They not shockers. Me and Rondé Barber used to call the quarterbacks who panic at night. We used to call them shockers, right? They're not shockers. They always calm. Even when they get at a dude, they right back calm. They score a touchdown, they celebrate, they right back calm. So, man, I feel like that's control of the game. Those guys got great command, great control of the game. And that's why they've been successful their whole life.
You know, I watched Tampa this weekend, and you played in Tampa for 5 years. And they've always had my entire life. I covered them when they had Warren Sapp, Rondé Barber early, Derek Brooks. They've not always been the best team, but they've always had talent. And I watch this Tampa team, and it just looks like a collection of great ballers.
Right.
I still can't figure out what they are offensively. Did you go back to your career? Was there ever a single team when you honestly thought you had tons of talent, but it just, it never cinched up. It never was going in the same direction.
I'll say the closest thing that I was to that was probably my first year in Denver. We brought a whole bunch of guys in. It was, you know what I'm saying? It was big names everywhere. But you know what I'm saying? We didn't really hang out with each other. We was kind of still learning each other, getting to know each other. And we had a cool season. We lost in the first round of the playoffs. We lost in the divisional round against Andrew Luck and the Colts. But we was expected to do so much better. So a divisional round exit, that was, you know, not up to par for us, man. So I'll say the closest thing that I got to that was definitely that Broncos team, man. And it was just, we didn't know each other. You see, 1 year after everybody know how Leib is. We know how Von is. We start hanging out. Now the camaraderie in the locker room, the camaraderie on the field, was cranked all the way up. You know what I'm saying? So that was the closest thing that I got to a team like that.
The Pittsburgh Steelers can't run the football. And five of the last seven games, Akib, they don't even try. So one of the reasons I liked you as a player, and I like Jalen Ramsey for the same reason, you're physical. Even though you're corners, you're physical. I think in December and January, it is hard to win as a finesse team.
Definitely.
Tell me, when you face a team that can't run the football like Pittsburgh, what was the advantage for you as a defensive player?
Well, first, I think with Pittsburgh, they don't run the football, but they throw so many screens and quick passes to Juju. Them are like runs to me. So if you take the 8 of those they throw a game and you combine it with their 13 runs, that's 20 carries almost to me. You know what I'm saying? But when the teams don't run the football, I like it, man. I like it. It let us, you know, really run ourselves, especially if the quarterback is a guy like Ben. He's really not going to move that much. They're not running the ball. We could sit back in all our two deeps to our two high coverages, let us play two man, confuse the quarterback. He don't know if it's cover one or if it's two man. You know what I'm saying? So it really lets us, it lets DBs and that back end, that back seven, it really lets us, you know, disguises and let us really play ball.
So I watched Baltimore and Cleveland last night, and I think they're good teams. I don't think they're Super Bowl teams. A team that I think is kind of fascinating is Buffalo. Now, most people think Kansas City's the better team, but what I like about Buffalo is they feel like they're young and they're striving to be great. Here's what concerns me with Kansas City is that they're so talented. They're like the Warriors when Kevin Durant, Stephen Clay, and Draymond play together. They are so good that sometimes there's no urgency. Did you ever plan a team that was so gifted? There were Sundays, Akib, that it was hard for you to stay focused as a favorite.
No, I don't think so, man. I think the teams that I played on that was so gifted was my Patriot teams, and how that building is ran, it's just impossible to get comfortable over there. It's just impossible. You would never get comfortable over there. Tom was there, and he's a GOAT, but he still wasn't comfortable over there. So, I mean, you always going to want to work over there. And then our Broncos team, while we had Peyton, was one of those type of teams. And I think year one, we was learning each other. Year two, we really meshed in, and we knew our window was closing. So we worked hard, man. We worked super hard every day to try to win that Super Bowl, and we did. So I don't know, man. I don't think I've never been. That ain't in my motto, though. I don't let guys get comfortable on my team. You know, I'm always challenging guys. I'm always the loud one out there at practice getting things started. So you got to compete.
The Rams secondary, Jalen Ramsey, I want you to talk about Jalen because, like you, he's aggressive. He's trying to pick the ball off, and he's trying to score. There's an Ed Reed, although Ed was a safety. When you look at Jalen Ramsey, what do you see? What part of his games do you see that you really like?
I really like the versatility, Colin. He could play zone. He could play left. He could play right. He could play man, follow a guy, you know what I'm saying, and take him out the game and strap him on the line, press man. He could play left, right, slot. I just feel like he could tackle. You're not going to run at him and make him crack replace all day because he can't tackle. Because he could tackle. So I just like the versatility, man. He like you said, he reminded me of myself. You could do everything, man. I played on zone schemes, man schemes, and I'm a tackle. So that's exactly what Jalen does, man. And with that, with those attributes, you could play for anybody. You could play in any system. And all the coaches are going to love you.
It is interesting. Almost every good team in this league, Kansas City, Green Bay, Seattle, Buffalo, has a star receiver. So in a lot, what you're seeing now in this DK Metcalf, DeAndre Hopkins world, they're bigger. Mm-hmm. They're 6'4". They're 6'5". Did you prefer a bigger receiver, a smaller? Who gave you trouble in the NFL? What body type and prototype, Akib, gave you trouble?
Oh, I hated the small guys, Colin. I hated the T.Y. Hiltons. When I name my best receivers, I always throw T.Y. Hilton in there. And guys be like, T.Y.? I'm like, man. It's that little body fast, when they shifty and fast, and they can run straight. They got great straight-ahead speed. So, I mean, like, a guy like Wes Welker, he's shifty, but he's not the fastest vertically. You know what I'm saying? So, it wasn't that much trouble. But a guy like T.Y., he's shifty, and he can go. A guy like Antonio Brown, they shifty, and they can go. Those are the guys who I used to hate guarding, those kind of guys, man. But bigger guys, I love guarding bigger guys. You big. You're a little stiff. You want to jump ball. That's right up my alley. I can do all that.
So if you face,
I never had a problem.
Were you a trash talker with a Devontae Adams or a DK Metcalf? Do you try to intimidate them?
I don't know if I try to intimidate them, but I just have fun, Colin. Football is fun, so we're going to talk. If I do something good, you're going to know about it. If you do something good against me, I'm probably going to still be like, all right, you got me right there, bro. We're just going to talk about it. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if we – see, I never been one to, like, trash talk. I'm excited, and you know, it's more positive talk, and you know, all fun where we can shake hands at the end of the game.
I love you, man. 12 years in the NFL, Super Bowl champ, 5-time Pro Bowler, Akib Talib. He is doing the Eagles Cardinals game Sunday at 1 Eastern on Fox. As honest as anybody, and as real as anybody I bring on the show. Good talking again, bud.